Let us pray. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you once again for giving us an opportunity to hear your word. We pray for that you speak to us because we are listening. Minister to our spirits, even as you help us get rid of the weeds that are preventing us from bearing fruits, fruits that will last. Use me, Lord, for your glory. I am only a servant. We pray this, even asking for the forgiveness of sins. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Sit down. I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it is a blessing to once again stand before you this very beautiful morning to speak or to share the word of God with all of us. And I am Elizabeth Kimani for the sake of the visitors, and Christ is Lord in my heart. I'm born again this morning, and I am a witness of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have continued to love him and even to ask him to help me become a better believer every day, even as I get rid of the things that may hinder me from inheriting the kingdom of God. And my prayer every time is that, Lord, I will not miss heaven, that even after serving you and even loving you and even accepting you as my savior, that I will not miss the eternal life. And today we are doing the aspect of hatred as part of one of the weeds that we are to get rid of. And of course, there are many things that we are supposed to get rid of even as we continue with our walk with Christ. And those are just but a few. And of course, the Lord will continue speaking to us, even pointing to us the things that we need to get rid of as we desire to mature in him, as we desire to bear fruits that will last. And maybe we can just begin by asking ourselves, what is hatred? And I have just one definition among as many, that hatred is a deep and extreme emotional dislike, which at times invokes feelings of anger and resentment. And hatred can be directed to people, it can be directed to objects, it can be directed to a particular behavior. And hatred can be both godly and also can be both positive and negative. And positive here, we are talking about the godly hate. And we have read that, and especially in the psalm that we read, where the psalmist is talking about a God who hates wickedness, a God who hates sin. And in Psalm 97, verse 10, the Bible says that let those who love God hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. So even as God hates evil, we also need to also follow the same, to hate any type of wickedness, to abhor it by all means, because that is what God wants us to do. And one of the texts that comes out so strongly about God hating evil is in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. The Bible says that there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable: haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict. Those are the seven things that the Lord hates. And I'm sure these are some of the things that we find ourselves getting entangled in, even as believers. And it's also important for us to really desire to hate sin. And the psalmist David one said that in Psalm 26 verse 5 that I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. So it's a decision that one makes in life to also abhor and hate wickedness just as the Lord hates it. And when we do that to us, even as God sees us, we have a right standing with God. There's also the negative hate, and this is hate that is directed to others. And of course, it is amongst the works of the flesh. And Proverbs 10:18, hatred is only harbored by fools. Those people who are fools, they are the ones who harbor hatred within themselves. And in most cases, we find ourselves hating those people who have wronged us. Is that true? Yeah, you find yourself, you have a dislike of that person, not because so much of any other thing, but because that person did something wrong to you. And this may happen in our families, it may happen in our places of work, even in the community, and even in the church. And of course, at times we even hate people just because of the way they are, how they look like, their race, their gender, their habits, their character. Those are some of the things that we find ourselves, you know, picking even as we hate people. We have a reason why we are hating that person. Also, we might find ourselves not liking those people who are our competitors, maybe in our places of businesses, in the political arena. All those things are there in our lives. And some of the examples that we find in the Bible on issue of hate is one of it is the text we have read of Genesis chapter 4, where we have these two characters, Abel and Cain. And Cain was somebody who was a farmer, and Abel was a person who kept flocks. And one day they decided to take an offering to the Lord. And the Bible says that God looked with favor the sacrifice of Abel, but he did not look with favor the sacrifice of Cain. And when I look at that text, I see an angry person. And sometimes becoming angry and hatred, they walk together. And of course, because he saw Abel as a competitor, he saw Abel as a hindrance of his sacrifice being accepted. And I'm sure he did not like him. And that for that reason, he devised a way of eliminating him. And Cain performed the first murder in the Bible after ignoring the warning of God. When we go to other texts, we see Saul hating David when he saw him, you know, doing better things than he was. When they go for a fight, he would be praised. He saw him as an enemy, he saw him as a competitor. And several times we see Saul devising a plan on how to kill him. And you can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 18, where the genesis of hatred of Saul towards David began. When we go to the story of Joseph, we see how he was hated by his brothers just for only one reason, because he was a favorite of his father. And of course, this is a warning to us even today as we talk about family issues, that sometimes even our children are able to detect that one is loved and the other one is not loved. And that might really breed a lot of hatred, even when these siblings have not done anything to each other, but just because they know that this brother of mine or this sister of mine is loved more than I am loved, maybe because of different reasons, because he or she did well in school, he has a good job, or he's an obedient person, and the other one is a crook, and for that reason, we are inclined to loving those children that are good to us. And this was the genesis of Joseph's problem, that their brothers, they knew for sure that this son is a favorite of his father. And Genesis 37 verse 4 says that when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. So that's also a good example of hatred. When we go to the book of Judges 11, we see Jephthah, who was hated by his half-brothers, not for any reason, anything that he did to them, but because he was a son of another woman. I don't know whether she got married with this son, but he was from a different mother, and the other group of sons were from also a different mother, and they even chased him away. But one time they needed him, and they had to plead with him that, come help us, there's a war that has been set before us, and you're the only one who can help us fight this. And Jephthah reminded them that you chased me just because I come from a different mother. When we go to Genesis 27, 41, we see Esau hating his brother Jacob because of taking an inheritance that was supposed to be, that was meant for him. And when we read verse 41, we see Esau or Esau planning to kill his brother. And because of that reason, the mother asks Jacob to run away, to go to his uncle, so that he will not be killed. We also read the story of Amnon, when he raped the half-sister. The Bible says that he hated her with a very great hatred, more than the love that he had loved her with. That is 2 Samuel 13, verse 15. And also we read within the same story, we read in verse 22, Absalom hating Amnon because of the way he violated his sister Tamar. When we come to the New Testament, Jesus was hated by the Pharisees and the scribes because he, in most cases, would upset the traditions that they highly honored every day, and every activity that Jesus was doing, he was doing contrary to what the tradition meant or wanted it to be done. And also Jesus, in most cases, he spoke the truth, and which pierced their hearts. And the worst thing that made the Pharisees to hate Jesus was his claim to be the Son of God. And every time they were looking for an opportunity to kill him. What about today? Today, hate is on the rise, and I'm sure it's a fulfillment of what Jesus said would happen in the last days. Matthew 24, verse 10 talks about that. It says that at that time, meaning the last days, many will turn away from the faith, and they will betray and hate each other. Verse 12 says, because of the increase of the wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. So there is hatred among us siblings, hatred among us people who are once in love, couples. Of course, and at times it is resulting to deaths, and we are sure of that. We have seen that on the televisions and even in the newspapers. There is hatred between parents and children. There is even hatred even among us believers, people who go to the same church, and these people cannot greet each other. They cannot see each other eye to eye because of one reason or the other. And this is resulting to a lot of breakages even in fellowships. And it's also preventing the Spirit of God from moving in the midst of brethren. And because of that, the Bible requires us that we be people who are repentant, be reconciled to each other. Because if we claim to love God, whom we have not seen, how can we not be able to love our brother or our sister who has been created in the image of God? And maybe you're here and you're saying that sometimes we find ourselves saying, I will never forgive him because of whatever he did to him. Why? To me. Why? Because maybe whatever was done to you was too deep. Whatever was done to you was too much. And when I remember those sentences, that sentence that I will never forgive you, I remember Jesus on the cross, even as we look forward to celebrating the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the cross, he said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Because Jesus had not done anything wrong, but the hate that they hated him with led to them desiring to clear him. And for that reason, even though we know that he died for our sins, one of the reasons that pushed people to say, crucify him, is because of the hatred they had towards Jesus. So it's a matter of, you know, asking the Lord to help me be able to deal with this hate that I have towards this person who did this wrong to me, and be willing to utter these words: "The Lord, help me to forgive this person who has done this wrong to me." What are some of the things that happens to us when we hate? Number one is that hatred hinders our prayers and our fellowship with God. And Mark 11:25 says, "When you are standing to pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." We cannot be forgiven unless we make a deliberate choice of, you know, forgiving those people who have wronged us. Number two, hatred robs us our joy and makes our lives very miserable. Because especially when you hate somebody, and in some cases you find that person around where you are not happy. You are not very comfortable. I am not very comfortable. This person will spoil the mood when I see him around or I see her around. And I cannot be happy anymore now that this person is around. And we can do anything to avoid this person. You can even say, "I will not go to that fellowship because you know that other person will come." So it robs us our joy. It prevents us from enjoying that which we are supposed to enjoy, because we don't want to see that person eye to eye. Number three, hatred is poison, because it destroys us from within and it produces bitterness. When you hate, when I hate, it is something that hatred keeps on growing within us, and finally it will produce bitterness. And when you read Hebrews 12:15, the writer warned believers, and he told them, whoever wrote told them, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So hatred makes us, produce what we call bitterness, and bitterness defiles the people of God. Number four is that hatred stirs up strife or conflict. Where there is hatred, there is no peace. And Proverbs 10:12 says that hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Number five, 1 John 2:9 talks about anyone hating walks in darkness. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. And when we're in darkness, we really stumble. There's a lot of stumbling because we cannot clearly see. Number six, hatred is equated to murder. 1 John 3:14-19, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Of course, sometimes we think that murder is when you pick, you know, a weapon and hit that other person and that person dies. But even, you know, in the Bible, hatred is equated to murder. That is why it is important for us to be very careful, because it will prevent us from inheriting the kingdom of God. And of course, again, hatred leads to murder. We have seen that in the story of Cain. We have also seen it almost happening when we read this, when I talked about the story of Esau and Jacob. He wanted to kill his brother. It's also because of hatred that people wanted to kill Jesus. So it leads people to desiring to clear that person of their lives. which is also a sin in the eyes of God. Number seven, when God sees us hating other people, he sees us as liars. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says that I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Number eight, hatred breeds grudges and animosity. And there's a person who talked about hatred by the name Anne Landers, and she said that hate is like an acid. It can damage the vessel in which it is stored, as well as destroy the object on which it is poured on. So it happens, there is some destruction happening on the inside of that person hating, and also there is also some destruction happening on that person who is poured out the hate that is coming from within us. And number nine, which is the last one, is that hate harms us physically. Because in most cases, when we think of that other person who wronged us, sometimes we even lose our appetite. We feel like we are stressed. We feel like we are experiencing pain in our bodies. And of course, we find ourselves going to the doctor, this being an indicator that all is not well. After saying all that, we need to see how to handle hatred. And I just want to say that hatred, medicine for hatred is love. Hatred is countered with actions of love. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, we are quiet, but I need to hear that amen. That even after, you know, hearing those very tough words from the Bible on how hatred affects us, we can be able to counter hatred with love. And when I look at 1 Corinthians 13, it gives characteristics of love. Love is patient, love is all those things. But there's one that I was able to look at it very keenly that says love does not keep a record of wrong. Because sometimes, why do we hate? Because we kept it within us. Something was done to me. I was not able to brush it away. I kept it inside. And after keeping it inside, then I start breeding that hatred. And of course, when we read Romans 9, chapter 12, the one we read, 9 up to 21, it gives us different ways on how we can show love to those people who they are either against us or we feel that we are not liking them. So five things we can do, six things. Number one is that we need to make a choice on not to hate those who wrong us. It's just a matter of choice. You did it to me. It was not very good. It was not a kind gesture, but I'll just brush it off. I'll just pretend that it never happened. Number two, hate. Have a heart to forgive when we are wronged. And also be willing to talk about it to those who have wronged us. Because if we do not forgive, then we are not able to let go that what was done to us. And you can read that from Mark 11, verse 25. Number three, ask the Lord to fill us with his love, especially when we are tempted to hate. Love is a cure of hatred. Somebody once said that you will never really love until you love someone whom you hate or who hates you. I think that's a test of love. Because we keep on saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, my brother, I love you, my sister. But when that person does something wrong to us, that is where our test of love, you know, is put is tested. Because you either choose to forgive or you put away the love that you claim you loved that person with and now start another route of hatred, and you don't want to see that person any longer. Number four, pray for those who are a thorn in your flesh, that God may change them. Sometimes we have people who are thorns in our flesh. And one time I read this book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. And there's a place where he says that within a fellowship, God will place somebody who is a thorn in your flesh, who is a thorn within the body of believers, either to you directly or to the fellowship at large, because God wants to test our love. So what do we need to do is please pray for that person. They keep on, you know, throwing words to us. They keep on, you know, doing very unkind things to us, and we are tempted to hate that person. But how can we counter it? By making that person a prayer item in your life. That not that he changes because he cannot, but that God is able to change that person. Number five, purpose. To treat that person well, no matter how he or she mistreats you. And Romans 9, the one that we have read, verse 20, says that if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Amen? So it's up, you know, continue doing those actions of love. I know it is not easy, but with God's help, it is possible. So that that person will see and will be able to detect that surely, even as I treat this person very unkindly, this person still loves and cherishes me as we relate with him or her. And the last one is just leave that issue that is really bothering you to the Lord. Do not take revenge. Verse 21 of the text we have read says, vengeance belongs to the Lord. It is him who repays good or bad that has been done to us. He can see how you are being treated. He can see how you are treating others. So if it is good gestures, good actions towards that person, he will repay. If it is bad actions, he's the one who knows how to revenge. And he avenges at the right time. And he knows how to do that. He knows how to do it. So throughout our life, in conclusion, people will make you mad. People will disrespect you. And they will treat you bad. But let God deal with those things that they are doing to you. Because if you harbor hate in your heart, it will consume you. Hate consumes us. Hate makes us not happy. Hate makes us feel like we want to get rid of that person. So us as believers who are listening to the word this morning, what are we supposed to do with hate? Get rid of it. Amen? Get rid of? Yes, please tell your neighbor, get rid of it. Yeah, it might be, this is something happening in your family. Somebody took your shamba, yeah? Took your portion of shamba, and you feel resentment. It might be in the fellowship, somebody stepped on your toe. Maybe he or she made a comment that you are not happy with. And since then, you have been avoiding that person. You even at times when you know that that person will be coming for that fellowship, you even not go to that fellowship. And when you see that person in that fellowship, the mood is spoiled. So what do you do? For you to be happy, for you to enjoy life, get rid of it. Because if we get rid of it, then we will be able to experience the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We'll be free people. Because at times, when we hate people, it becomes a burden in us. You carry it wherever you go. It's a baggage that really, you know, makes you be bogged down every time. And you are never happy. But when you're able to get rid of hatred, you will experience the peace of God. And your heart will feel light again. The moment you put that burden down, you'll be at peace with God, you'll be at peace with your family, you'll be at peace with your fellow brethren. One story is told of a teacher who one time told the student that, how many people have enemies? They lifted up their hands. They were told, go home. Tomorrow, come with potatoes or any other kind of fruit that you any kind of fruit or vegetable that you can find at home, just come with it. And then they brought, very innocently, they brought a few, and they were told in each of it, if it is a tomato, if it is an apple, if it is a potato, put a sticker on it and the name of that person that you hate. So they did it so, you know, so innocently. And then the teacher told them, now from today, within a few days or weeks to come, I want you to be carrying that ka paper bag or ka parcel or ka sack of those 5 potatoes or 10 potatoes that you have put in that sack. And so, of course, carry them home, bring them in the morning, carry them home, bring them in the morning. And at one point, if you had tomatoes, what will they do? See, they will start rotting. If there was a potato there that was not very good, it would start rotting. So those whatever was rotting started bringing out a very bad stench. And then, of course, carrying that kasak or a paper bag of tomatoes, if there were 10, it's a heavy luggage, carrying it home, bringing it back. So by the end of the week, life was unbearable for these children because of the stench and the luggage and the load. So then the teacher decided to now tell them, now bring all that luggage here, bring it here. And the children were happy that they were relieved of the stench and the load. And then they were asked, how are you feeling now? They said, happy. We are okay. Why? Because the smell is no longer with us, and the heavy load is not with us. Then the teacher explained to them and told them, that is what happens when we carry people in our hearts. In Kikuyu we say, that's what we say. You carry that person in your heart. And then when you carry that person whom you hate in your heart, that person is a burden to you. And that person makes your life unhappy. But suppose you put that person down, what will happen? You feel free, you feel relieved, you feel happy, and you're able to move on in life. So the call of God this morning is that if you have somebody that you have carried in your heart because he did this or that to you, please get rid of that hatred. Put that person down. Let the Lord avenge. If it's something you really wanted, you know, to get even with, just put it down. Put the luggage down. Put the load down. And you'll be freer, you'll be happier, and even your walk with God will be more enriched. In the name of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.